Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want to begin in verse 8. Remember, Paul is writing to Timothy. It's not long before the end of Paul's life, and he is encouraging young Timothy to fill the void, to stand in the gap, to be faithful, to endure. And he continues that thought in verse 8. He says, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Will you pray with me? Father, before us once again is the truth. Before us awaits an opportunity for us to ingest by your grace, by your Holy Spirit, the truth of your word. I confess also awaits is an opportunity for us to completely miss what you would teach us. That is not our desire. Thank you for these, your sheep, who long to hear the truth of your word. May they hear it this morning. May they be encouraged by it. May we have ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds that would understand, and lives by your grace that would live out the truth of your word. Help us to that end, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It was some years ago. It was during a Monday night football game between the Chicago Bears and the New York Giants that one of the announcers observed Walter Payton, the Bears running back, and he commented that he had accumulated over 9 miles in career rushing yardage. 9 miles. The other announcer responded, "Yeah, and that's with somebody knocking you down every 4.6 yards. I confess that I really wanted to make this text about something else. I kind of wrestled with the text, and Paul's been talking about enduring. He's been telling Timothy, keep on going, don't give up, endure the hardships. And I thought to myself, Paul, we've heard that, and so this is obviously about something else. But I confess, the more I wrestled with this text, the more I understood that what I wanted it to say is not what it said. That what it says is keep on enduring. And so they've already heard that, God. They've already heard that message. They're going to think I'm preaching the same sermon 3 weeks in a row because I'm just telling them to keep on going. And God said, well, that's what I'm telling you to do, so you tell them that. And it would seem to me that this endurance thing is hard work. It's hard to get knocked down every 4.6 yards and keep getting up and keep on going. Imagine if I told you that your Christian life was 9 miles long and every 4.6 yards somebody's going to knock you on your tailbone. Anybody want to sign up for 9 miles? Every 4.6 yards, calculate that. How many times in the process of living out the Christian life? It really is the same message. It's a continuation of it, and there's a little different emphasis, and I desire to give that to you. But the basic message is to keep on enduring, keep on going on. She didn't like the every 4.6 yards getting knocked down. Keep on going, endure. Even when the culture says that if you live right, then things will go right. Right? See, I think Paul understood a little bit about what Timothy was encountering. Timothy, timid, remember? Timothy, who wasn't one of the original, but was following in Paul's footsteps and was learning of Paul. Timid as he was, Paul soon to be gone. Now he's aspiring to his mentor, Paul. What does he have to look forward to? Well, Paul gave it his all. He lived his heart for the Lord. He walked in the footsteps of Christ. And where is he now as he writes to Timothy? He's not on a picnic. He's not on a cruise. He's in prison. And it would appear as you listen to the words of Paul that this isn't one of his better prison stays. Not that any of them were good, but in this particular case, it would appear that he's in chains. And it's real serious. Paul is being treated like a criminal, the same word used for those men who hung on either side of Christ on those crosses. And the culture screams out, you know, if you'll just live right, everything will go fine. If that was even a temptation in Timothy's mind, then Timothy, observing Paul's life, says, what happened? Paul, you lived for the Lord. You gave him your all, and you're in chains in a prison? What in the world? What's wrong with you people? You will live your life for the Lord and things still go wrong? You still have problems? You still have hardship? If somebody told you that following Christ meant living happily ever after on this earth, they sold you a bill of goods. Because what I read Paul telling Timothy is, Timothy, this Christian life is difficult. You will get knocked down every 4.6 yards. There is an enemy. I didn't say it wouldn't be sweet. I didn't say it wouldn't be rewarding. I didn't say there wouldn't be fulfillment and joy in the process. I said it would be difficult. He says, keep on enduring. I know it's probably not a good time to talk about a fire in the fireplace, but I've watched some of you with a fire in the fireplace. What does the typical guy do when there's a fire in the fireplace? About every 15 minutes, grabs the poker. You know, he's, yeah, I'm just kind of stoking a fire, making it burn better. You know, and after a while, he's got about logs this high on the fire. I mean, it's kind of macho to have a bonfire in the wood stove. But what happens if you stop stoking the fire? What happens if you stop feeding that fire? It kind of goes down to a nice coal fire, and everybody goes, ooh, that's lovely. Ah, and everybody wants to roast marshmallows. And then a little bit later, what happens? And the next day you come back and you go, where's that grip? Oh, it's just a pile of ash. Can I submit to you that the same thing happens to your spiritual fire if you ignore it? It just sort of dwindles. Now, I don't know where each individual in this room might be spiritually, but I would dare say that some of us might need to pull out the poker and stoke the fire. Where are you? Maybe once upon a time you started following Christ and you've just sort of let that go. And you look back and you go, just ashes. There's no fire left. Well, duh, you've done nothing with it. You've not fed it. You've not stoked it. You've not developed your relationship with Christ. Maybe somebody came along with a bucket of water and just poured it on your fire and you weren't sure what to do with it. I don't know where you are, but I know that no matter where you are, whether you've just got the tiniest coal of the Spirit dwelling within you because you made a commitment, or maybe you've never started the fire, and God wants to start that fire in you today in Christ Jesus. Or maybe yours is burning like a bonfire, and maybe that's why it's 98 outside. I don't know where you are in that process. But I promise you that every single one of you needs to tend that spiritual fire and needs to endure the process of hardship in as you do. Keep on enduring. Keep on growing through faith. There's no time on this earth to be lackadaisical about our Christian life. How do you keep on enduring when those around you don't and appear unconcerned about it? Oh, don't be so radical. I got religion too. Oh, don't worry about it. How do you endure? How do you thrive in the case of hardship when those around you aren't and seem unconcerned about it? How do you endure in this Christian walk when the cares of this world seem to have a chokehold on you and there is no appearance of letting go? How do you keep on enduring when everything inside of you screams, stop? It's not worth it. Try that.
I've endured for so long and I'm tired and I don't feel like it anymore. Look where it got you. What are the excuses? See, couldn't Timothy have used all of the excuses that you could come up with? Jesus was no longer walking the face of the earth. His mentor was about to leave. And really, it didn't matter, did it? His mentor was still here, but he's in jail. Look where it got your mentor, Timothy. You want to walk in Paul's footsteps and wind up in chains? And when the culture around you doesn't really seem to care? Paul told him earlier that verse 15 of chapter 1, everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me. Woohoo! Can I follow you, Paul? Maybe they'll desert me too. So couldn't Timothy have come up with all of the excuses? I think he could. I wonder if he was wrestling with them. And so Paul writes to him and says, keep on enduring. And he tells him how. He continues to tell him how. Because endurance isn't something that you say, okay, today I will endure. Done, finished, took care of that. Now I can get on with other things. Endurance is something that must continue through a lifetime. And here's the first way, write it down. First, how to in terms of enduring. Remember Jesus Christ. It's really not well written in the English. It really says, keep on remembering Jesus Christ. Interesting, later you'll note that he says Christ Jesus, which may actually be more common, but here he says Jesus and identifies the person, and then he identifies Christ, his title, the Messiah, who he is in terms of the role that he fulfills. Look back, call to mind, make reference or mention of, recall. And I think Paul says to Timothy to remember because he knows that it's so easy to forget. You and I get lost in the cares of this world, and it's so easy to forget. One of the main purposes, one of them, in the Lord's Supper is to do this in remembrance. Remember Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting, in just a few short words, what Paul packs in. And I want you to see, first of all, as you look back, as you remember, as you recall, first of all, recall who he is. Jesus is his name. Christ is his title. Messiah identifies why he came. But he also is identified as descended from David or the seed of David. Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah 11 verse 1, both identify the coming Messiah as one who would come from David's lineage and would take over the throne of David. And so Paul, in one fell swoop, tells Timothy who Jesus is. He says, he is a man. He's a descendant of David. He is a man. But he's also the Messiah. He's God in human flesh. You didn't know you could pack so much into one sentence, did you? But that's what Paul does. He says he's God in human flesh. He's the Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament. But he's also a man. He's 100% God and he's 100% man. He's not half and half. He's fully God and fully man. Remember him, who he is. And I don't know about you, but it takes conscious effort on my part to remember him. Because I'm too concerned about gas prices and politicians and grass that keeps on growing. That's one good thing about this heat spell. My grass has slowed down. People buy sprinklers and I don't get it. It just makes the grass grow and then you have to mow it again. I have to consciously remember who he is. That's terrible to admit. But if you're honest, you have the same problem. It's easy to think about other things and forget who he is. Not only remember who he is, but what he did. In one short swoop, he says, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Well, that assumes a whole bunch of things. He died. You can't be raised from the dead if you didn't die. And Paul knows, Timothy knows what Paul knows, what Timothy knows, you know? He knows that Timothy knows about Jesus' death and why he died. He knows that Christ came and died on Calvary's cross to pay for our sin. He became sin. He took our sin upon himself and died. Have you ever just kind of thought about What would have happened if that was it? What if he'd just died? Great story. What a historical figure. Awesome man. I mean, he stood up against the culture, but in the end, the Jews and Rome got the best of him, and he died. It was really kind of a tragic story. Can you imagine going to see that movie? I still remember the end of the Passion movie, and I was like, no, you can't stop here. You can't leave him in the tomb. And they didn't. You know, they kind of suspended it, and then they showed the stone rolled away. He died, but he rose again. And the idea there is not just that that happened in history, but that that resurrection is still real and that he's still alive. He's still the resurrected one. And so you and I need to remember. And that's one of the reasons that God gives us communion. That's one of the reasons God gives us his word. So that you and I can remember. I get a little frustrated, I confess, when sometimes we view the gospel as that which is needed by those who don't yet know Christ. That's true. But you and I who know Christ need the gospel. We need to remember. We need to remember who he is and what he did. Because it affects me today. He's rooted in history. He's both human and divine. And oh, there's like one other thing that I think Paul is trying to point out. He says to Timothy to endure hardship. And I think he's saying, Timothy, I want you to remember Christ. That will strengthen you that you might endure. I want you to remember what he endured. You need to know that Christ endured. Somebody handed me this. One of my little buddies handed me this right before the service. It's an arrowhead, leather, and it's got three mountains on it with the sun shining, and one of the crosses on top of the mountains is taller than the other two. It's a reminder of what Paul's talking about. God has given us reminders throughout his word that we would remember who Jesus is and what he did. You want to endure, you got to remember Jesus. He alone has the strength that you and I need to endure. He alone is the perfect example of endurance. So you and I, first of all, need to look back. We need to remember if we would endure. The second thing, we need to look around now. Look back. Remember who Christ is. Now look around, Timothy. I want you to see something, and I want you to understand what's happening. Paul, I think, is encouraging Timothy not by painting a fake picture or a false picture, but he paints a real live picture for which I am suffering. This is the gospel, Timothy, and I'm suffering for it. He doesn't go, hey, Timothy, everything's great in prison, man. They bring me food anytime I want. It's awesome here, man. That's not what he says. He says, Timothy, I am suffering, but let me tell you why. Okay? Look around, Timothy. Look what's happening in my life. Look what God's doing in my life. I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. Now, see, I think this is funny. Sorry. But I think those people thought they had Paul chained to them. I think Paul may have looked at it like, dude, you're chained to me and you got to put up with me as long as your shift lasts. You ain't going nowhere. Now, he doesn't paint a fake picture. It's hard work. But Paul says, I am chained. Now, lest Timothy go, bummer, man. If you would just get out of prison, Paul, you could just tell the world and everybody would know about Christ. And Paul says, don't even go there, Timothy. Don't go there. I'm chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Let me tell you why it's not chained. Because it's working in my life. How do you sit in prison and make statements like God's word is not chained unless God's word is doing a work in your heart? And I think there's people there in Rome where Paul ministers that don't have a chance. This dude is chained to them and all he talks about is Jesus. He identifies with them. He shares the gospel with them. Study the life of Paul. Discover how he comes alongside of people. Sometimes willingly and other times God just kind of chains him up to somebody. The gospel's not in chains. Look back at Acts. Let me show you what that looks like. Acts chapter 28. I want you to see what that looks like in the life of Paul, that the gospel is not chained.
Acts chapter 28, verse 17. 3 days later, Acts 28, 17. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had any charge to bring against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of the brothers who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But watch this, we want to hear what your views are. We want to invite you to speak to us, Paul. A speaking engagement. For we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he said. Others didn't believe. You don't think Paul was being used of God with the gospel? The gospel's not in chains. The gospel is in you and me and can be declared anywhere God chooses to put us. Look around you, Timothy. Look what God's doing in my life. Look what God's doing through me. Look at His chosen people who are being saved. And I get to be part of that process. Paul is trying to encourage young Timothy to keep on going. And he says, look back, look and remember who Jesus is. Recall what he did. Look around you, Timothy. Look what God's really doing. Pull the bars apart for a minute and look at what God's doing in and through and around even me. And because I'm in chains, there are others that God is raising up to share the gospel. And you're one of them, Timothy. Take the baton. Okay, finally, look back, look around, look ahead. Look ahead. I think that's what he's saying here in these last few verses. Here's a trustworthy saying. Some believe that he was quoting from a hymn that they sang in the early church and took a segment of it. Look ahead to the future, Timothy. Endurance. If we died with him, we'll live with him. I think he's talking about the concept of dying to self, the crucifixion of our old sinful self and its nature in Christ at Calvary's cross. If we died with him, we will live with him. Do you know what's coming? Do you know what currently is, Timothy? You're alive in Christ. Do you know how long that life lasts? Forever. Endure, Timothy. Endure. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Do not hear Paul saying, you can do this by yourself. Just pull up your bootstraps and get to work. What he's saying is, if God has done this work in you, Timothy, and you died with Christ, you will live with him. If you endure, which is a work of his grace in your life, then you will reign with him. Do you see what's coming, Timothy? Hang in there, man. Keep on going. Keep pressing on. Don't give up. Don't stop. But on the contrary, there's another fate for those who do give up. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful to his word, and he will say to those without faith, depart from me, I never knew you. Sobering words, even frightening words for those outside of Christ. Words that Timothy needed to hear in his challenge to endure the calling of God on his life. Where are you in your Christian walk? Do you need some more wood on the fire? Do you need to begin that relationship with Jesus? Do you need to just come to him and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner in a mess, and I need you, the Savior. I put my trust in you.
Do you need to begin that fire? Do you need to let him begin that fire in you? Is your fire kind of smoldering? You've got excuses as long as the day as to why that is. Is it time to stop with the excuses? Is it time to let God's Spirit stoke the fire to challenge you in your Christian life? Keep on enduring. The story is told that Andrew Jackson's boyhood friends just couldn't understand why he or how he became a famous general and then the president of the United States. Imagine growing up down the street from Andrew Jackson. They knew of other men who had greater talent but had never succeeded. One of his friends said, why Jim Brown, not our Jim Brown, I don't think Jim's quite that old, why Jim Brown, who lived right down the pike from Jackson, was not only smarter, but he could throw, I like this language, he could throw Andy 3 times out of 4 in a wrestling match. But look where Andy is now. Another friend responded, how did there happen to be a fourth time? Didn't they usually say 3 times and out in the wrestling match? Sure, they were supposed to, but not Andy. He would never admit that he was beat. He would never stay throwed. Some of you staying throwed? Jim Brown would get tired, and on the fourth try, Andrew Jackson would throw him, and he would be the winner. I think it's time for round 4 for some of us. The call is endurance. The Christian life isn't a sprint, it's a marathon. It's time for some of us to stop drinking Gatorade and start running again. It's time for some of us to start. It's time for some of us to encourage those who are behind us. It's time for some of us to realize that the only way we can keep up the current pace is to look back and remember Jesus, who he is and what he did. To look around and see what God is doing in the lives of his children and how the gospel is going forth. And to look ahead to what's coming, what's ours in Christ. Keep on keeping on. Will you pray with me? Father, for the truth of your word, we give you thanks. Holy Spirit, take the truth of your word, this call to endurance, and challenge your bride here at Faith. May they who hear the truth of your word respond in faith to you. Challenge us to run with endurance the race set before us. We cannot without you, Lord Jesus. Help us to look at you, to remember, to recall who you are, what you've done. And Lord Jesus, help us to look around and see what it is that you are doing in the lives of your people. That's one of the joys I have as a pastor, Father, and you know that, is to sit down across the room from these, your sheep, and hear how it is you are at work in and through and around their lives. Not always easy, not always fun, but awesome nonetheless are you. And then, Father, would you give us eyes to see ahead? Because I'm convinced in contemporary language, we ain't seen nothing yet. Help us to endure by your grace for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.